السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. قال تبارك وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. بلغ العلا بكماله، كشف الدجى بجماله، حسنت جميع خصاله، صلوا عليه وآله. بلغ العلا بكماله، كشف الدجى بجماله، حسنت جميع خصاله، صلوا عليه وآله. في الدرود الشريف: اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected ulama ikram, respected muadhin, respected brothers, and those sisters who are listening on the receivers. We have so many issues that we are dealing with as an ummah. We have global issues we are dealing with, and each and every one of us is aware of the last 21 months or so what we have been dealing with as a global community, not just Muslims. Then as a Muslim community, we do have our fair share of issues and problems. Then we had the issue of the civil disobedience in the last few months. And one after the other, Rasooli Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that towards the sa'ah, towards the day of qiyamah, towards the hour, there will be fitnas one after the other. Like how a necklace or a tasbih or a bead, a string of beads, when it breaks, then we know from experience that if a tasbih breaks one after the next, the beads will come out rapidly. Similarly, we are seeing fitnas one after the other unfolding and unleashing. And throughout the Muslim world, we see the difficulties that Muslims are enduring, not just recently, but from a long time, over a century as well. Currently, as we speak, there have been severe difficulties with Muslims in Syria, again and again, carrying on for so many years. In Assam, in India, for those of us who are not aware, there's been a lot of unrest and it's persecution of Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the entire Muslim ummah. Here in our country, and perhaps globally also, we are being inundated with problems. All the Islamic organizations and the Jamiat in particular, we have been inundated with addiction problems that are coming to us, to our social department. And we also have Muslim professionals who have been highlighting this to us, the number of patients and the cases that they are seeing, not only with youth, because we always tend to isolate the youth with these problems, but society at large, and especially when it comes to substance abuse and addictions. Now, when we think of addictions, generally, our thought always goes towards drugs. But it's not confined to drugs only. There are a plethora of different kinds of addictions. And they are motivated by something or the other. So, the Jamiat decided that we need to bring this message out to the fore with force, in the various masajids, and conscientizing our community regarding addictions, and not only highlighting it because many people are already aware of it, but also giving solutions. A problem needs a solution. So what are the solutions when we are facing these difficulties? What are the telltale signs for us to see in our family members, and particularly in our children, whether there is any substance abuse or any addiction carrying on? So among the addictions, there are basically two kinds of addictions. One is a physical addiction. A person is physically addicted to something. And what, for example, a person is abusing substances. Then you get behavioral addictions. For example, a person is a pornographic addict. That's a behavioral addiction. So there are so many kinds of addictions. It can be classified in so many things. We do not want to go into that detail. Now, one of the things that we take for granted, or we consider haram, that we will not go near it because of, alhamdulillah, the way we have been brought up in this country. And really, we need to pay tribute to our forefathers, and our elders, and our seniors, and our akabirin ulama, who laid out such a beautiful maktab system for us in this country, such a beautiful madrasa system in this country, that alhamdulillah, our little children go to madrasa, and the basics of deen are ingrained into them. So we need to be very grateful for that. Because if you go into other societies, other communities, you won't find this. Even in Muslim majority countries, you won't find this. Just as an example that comes to my mind, we were on a humanitarian mission once on the border of Turkey and Syria. It was Ramadan. So we thought the best place to go to make our iftar is to go to the Jamia Masjid. And when we go to the Jamia Masjid, a much bigger masjid than this masjid, the masjid is closed at Maghrib time. It's closed. So we go to look for somebody there. We went and saw the muadzin there. And we asked him that, listen, we want to make salah. We want to make iftar and salah. He said, no, the masjid is closed. You must come Isha time. Masjid will open at Isha time. So this is the condition in Muslim countries. So from this, understand how fortunate we are in this country. Alhamdulillah. So we have a natural aversion for alcohol. We have a natural dislike because we consider it impure, and it is impure because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's impure, it's najis, it's rijis, it's impure. But we forget to understand that other substances are in the same category, but we do not view them in that same light. They're also impermissible. They're also just as haram. But today, those substances have become recreational drugs. It's taken casually. So everybody is doing it, so why can't I do it? One student at university was explaining to me, and alhamdulillah, I see many of our students here as well. He was explaining to me that marijuana or dakha is smoked so openly in our campuses, like as though it's just another cigarette. It's done so blatantly. Yet the gravity of it is so great. The famous dua of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Fateel Rahmatullah Ali, it rings in our ears at times that, oh Allah, don't let the angel of death find me when I'm popping drugs or drugs in my mouth. Oh Allah, don't let the angel of death find me in such situations. That dua rings in our ears. What an important dua. That do not let me be found, let not the angel of death find me in a time when I'm disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's such a grave sin. So that's one category. And we'll expound slightly on it. Then the other addictions that we face as ulama, whether we face it as organizations, whether we face it as individuals, but we are facing just too many problems. There is not a week that goes, I mean the house of Allah, there is not a week that goes by that some father or some person will complain about substance abuse in the family. And they're at a loss what to do. It is one of the most difficult problems to solve. And the succession rate is not great. You can ask and you can check with any drug rehab center. The success rate is minimal. So what happens to our society if drugs and different kinds of drugs are available? People are aware of the different types of, from the very entry level drugs, the gateway drugs, to the very extensive and the very hard drugs. We came across a person in our community that on one night, he snorts or he blows away 100,000 rand of cocaine. One night party, just one night. How many married families, not youngsters, middle-aged women, they complain about their middle-aged husbands who are on drugs. They do not contribute to the home. There's no financial contribution because the husband is on drugs. And the wife has to work and she has to make do and she has to rely on others and handouts just to make it month to month.
So many cases of huffaz, unfortunately. That's the sad reality and the irony that we deal with so many huffaz who are on drugs. Just very recently, we dealt with a case of a young hafiz of the Quran. His marriage lasted approximately 4 weeks. First night of marriage, sniffing cocaine. First night of marriage. Now a girl who has never experienced such a thing or seen such a thing, how do you expect her to cope? Like that, so many broken marriages affected children just because of a substance addiction and a drug addiction. It is breaking hearts. It is breaking communities. It is breaking families. It is detaching parents from their own children. We need to wake up. We need to understand what's happening in our society. So that's a very, very severe addiction that we are facing with. Then, the mobile addiction. It is a severe addiction. We call them smartphones. But how smart are they really? Yes, indeed, technology Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for our benefit. And it is such a beneficial tool. We can use it for so much of good. We can use it to make our work and our life so easy. Indeed. But if it's used smartly and correctly. But if it is misused and it is abused, then that smartphone doesn't become smart at all. It causes havoc in the home. And it's done in the privacy of our children's bedrooms. With no knowledge that we have regarding what they're doing under the sheets or behind their closed doors. Pornography is a fingertip away. But how many of us are even cognizant of what's happening under our own roofs? And in our own home, how many of us are cognizant of what's happening around us? Then we have the complaint of children regarding their parents, that our parents are hooked onto their phones. No family time, no quality time. They are just hooked. Hook, line and sinker, caught. And there was a time when a diary was a very confidential item. A person wrote on the diary, it's private, confidential. It meant what it's supposed to be. It's something private. But today, we want to let the world know what we are doing. We want the world to know what we're eating, where we're visiting, where we're touring, our every next move. We want the world to know about it. The social media platforms, they are causing homes to break up. They are causing neglect of our families. But it's just getting worse and worse as time is going. Then another addiction that we are facing is the gymming addiction. That men want to spend hours in the gymnasium. Besides all the haram aspects, the nudity and all the other evils that go with it. But men spending hours and hours gymming. And just pumping muscles and building muscles to the detriment and to the neglect of their own families. And this has a disastrous effect on marriages sometimes. In fulfilling the rights of one's spouse, etc. It has a very detrimental effect. But it's just going on and on and on. So we need now to step back. We need to reflect that where are we going wrong? And I'm going to touch on two more aspects. The first is regarding alcohol and khamar, liquor. Now this is also a drug. And it's happening in our Muslim community. Let us not think that it's not happening. It is happening in our community. Now, if we look at alcohol, or khamar, or liquor, this was in vogue when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in Makkah Mukarramah. The Arabs were indulging in it, and it was free for all. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was divinely protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a natural moral compass. And he never ever indulged in this and any other vices from the time he was born. That natural moral compass in him was there. And like the Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, among many Sahaba, he was also another Sahabi who never indulged in liquor before Islam or after Islam. So this was in prevalence, it was in vogue. And Sahaba ikram also indulged in liquor. This was before the hurmat, the prohibition. So there are four ayat in the Quran and Majid regarding liquor. Four in particular. One in Surah Baqarah, one in Surah Nisa, and two in Surah Ma'idah. So, when the Sahaba came Among the Sahaba, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab and Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were very concerned about the ill effects of liquor on a person. And they went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding any clear guidance on this issue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah of the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. And they ask you regarding intoxicants and gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that there is vice in it, there's sin in it. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. And the harms of it outweigh the benefits. So there are some benefits. A person may get temporary benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but the harms outweigh the benefits. So it wasn't yet prohibited. On this ayah, when this ayah was revealed, the ayah in Surah Baqarah, then many sahaba stopped drinking completely. They stopped on their own without any prohibition. So this is Islam's way that gradually it was phased in. Not a knee-jerk reaction. It was gradually phased in, taking into cognizance human nature, human psychology. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then subsequent to this year, the second phase of it was, there was an invitation, a function that took place. And this was arranged by Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf hosted some Sahaba ikiram to a meal. And it was Maghrib time. And the time of Maghrib had set in. So one of the guests, he became the Imam of the Salah. And he was reading the Maghrib Salah. And he read Surah Kafirun. But he distorted Surah Kafirun. Because he was intoxicated. When this happened, then wahi came. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. That, O you who believe, do not go near intoxicants at the time of salah. So when this came, even more sahaba stopped drinking. Even more. Gradual phasing. And so this prohibition was only at the time of salah. So sahaba stopped drinking because of the dangers it can have a person's qiraat, his intellect at the time of salah. Then finally, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu continuously was asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Umar bin Khattab was making dua all the time, Oh Allah, give us a clear answer, give us a clear pathway to this aspect of liquor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made dua, that Oh Allah, clear this. And finally, in the fourth year of the Hijrah, in Madinatul Munawwara, remember, it wasn't prohibited in Makkah Mukarramah, but in Madinatul Munawwara. In the fourth year of the Hijrah, finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, innama al-khamru wal-maysiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijisum min amali shaytan, fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Finally, the prohibition came that now it's not allowed, it's not permissible, it is haram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent sahaba to go and announce that the ayah of prohibition has come. And we know the famous story that in Madinatul Munawwara, the sahaba, how they responded to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who had it in his mouth, it didn't go in his throat. That person, it was about to go down his throat, he spat it out. That person who had it in his hand, he dropped it. That person who had it in his house, he destroyed it. And like that, the streets of Medina flowed with wine. There was one sahabi who invested his entire capital in a consignment of liquor from Sham, from Syria. And he wasn't yet aware of the prohibition. And he's nearing Madinatul Munawwara. And as he's nearing Madinatul Munawwara, he gets news that now this has been prohibited completely. He goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, what must I do? He says, you can't, you have to destroy it. And he takes, it was in leather sacks, bags, and he takes a knife and he pierces it all till his entire capital in front of his own eyes rolled down a bank on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara. This was Sahaba's iman. That when Allah said do, they did it. When Allah said don't do, they didn't do it. This was the iman, the strength of the iman. And they said that there was so much of liquor in the sand of Medina that later when it rained, one could see the effects of the liquor still in the sand of Medina. And this was removed from the Islamic society forever till the day of Qiyamah. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about the prohibition of liquor. Now the point I am trying to raise, and at the point I am trying to drive, is just as liquor is haram, just as it is haram, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it categorically clear that every intoxicant is haram. And that includes substance abuses. That includes weed. That includes cocaine. That includes all those other prescription drugs which are not approved for a person to take. And so many other kinds of drugs on the market. It includes even the cheap drugs or whatever drugs. It includes everything. So a person who uses any substance that distorts his thinking, his intellect and his mind, then remember this is clearly prohibited in the Quran and Majid as explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Finally, we are in this world for a temporary period. We are here solutions. We are here for a short period. We come into this world to build a life, not to live a life. Not to live a life, to make a life. Hafiz Patel Rahmatullah Ali from the UK, he used to say that we came into this world not like dogs. Kutte bhi zindagi guzarte hai. We don't live like, we don't just live, exist. Zindagi ko banana hai. We have to build a life. A dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a crop, this is a farm of the akhirah, this world. And we have to accumulate a'mali saliha. We have to accumulate good deeds in order for us to get into the next phase of our lives and to be successful in the next phase of our lives. So we came into this world to build a life, to make a life, to develop a life, that when we leave from this world, we feel content that we have built a life. We have made a life of ourselves, a life in terms of our a'mal, a'mali saliha. For that, we also need correct aqidah. Because without correct aqidah, a belief system, all our good deeds will be wiped out. حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. So we need correct aqidah. We need to understand what is the correct Islamic aqidah. And good deeds are built on correct aqidah. So we need to build this life. And coming to solutions, we need to establish ta'alluq ma'allah. Our families, we are men. نَحْنُ رِجَال. We are men. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That each and every one of you is a shepherd. And each and every one of you will be questioned about your flock. So we have our own flocks, our families. As men, we are the heads of the home. There is no gender equality business here. Allah, hum mard hai. We are men. نَحْنُ رِجَال. We are the heads of the household. So we need to take control of our flock. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we'll be questioned about our flock. And we are shepherds of our flocks. So we need to guide our families. Guide them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ourselves have to put ourselves in order to guide our own families. And we have to lead them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot neglect our families. We have to spend quality time with our spouses. We have to spend quality time with our children. We cannot outsource our children to some madrasa, to Muslim school. We can't. There's no outsourcing. We have to worry about the tarbiyah of our own children. We have to make the tarbiyah of our own children. And how do we make that? We have to educate them. We have to study together. We have to discuss the deen together. We need to bring about the virtue of kitab reading in our homes. Educate ourselves. And we need to develop our families. And we need to develop our children so that those will become good, strong members of our society. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. That value five things before five things overtake you. Value five things before five overtake you. Look at the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, value shababaka qabla haramik. That value your youth before old age takes hold of you. Value your youth before old age overtakes you. And how quickly old age overtakes a person. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that value your health before your sickness. Before sickness can afflict you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that value your free time before you become overoccupied. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said value your wealth before poverty can afflict you. And we saw what happened a few months ago. We saw what happened with our own eyes, that how many businesses were destroyed. Decades-old businesses were destroyed beyond recognition. And finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that value your life before your death. وَحَيَاتَكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. Value your life before death overtakes you. It can overtake us at any time. Daily we read messages of janazas. How we know that ours may not be the next message out there. Just this morning we attended a janaza after Fajr. A young man yesterday, young man, heart attack, passed away. Allah fulis qabarud nur. But this is the reality. We bury people, but we take no ibrah from it. We take no lessons from it. We speak about it for a few days. We're shocked that young people are passing away. The time has come when parents are burying their own children. One father told me the hardest thing for him was to bury his own son. So we are seeing it in front of our eyes, but what lessons are we drawing and taking from this? And if there are problems in our community, if a person is experiencing problems, any person out there, seek help. There is help out there. There are, mashallah, Muslim professionals. There are Muslim rehabs. At the Jamiat, we have a counselor, a psychologist there.